Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It's Monday and it's 7 o'clock on the East Coast and 4 o'clock on the West. It's that time again for Talk Geek with Tyler Brook podcast live from Pearl River, New York. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. Show goes quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. More of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Tyler, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, right after you, you can give it over to your nice, great guest that you're bringing in today, and I'll man the boards, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. For those of you that are catching in, I am Tyler Brook, the host of Talk Geek with Tyler Brook. If you want to find me, go to geektalkwithtyler.com. On the homepage, you will see all my social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And if you're feeling generous, do check out that Patreon and Venmo page. Thank you for your support, and thanks for the listen. I would like to now introduce my guest, Jeremiah. Jeremiah.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. My name is Jeremiah Amporfi. I'm an author and stand-up comedian. You can find me at my website, www.jeremiahu.com, or just on Instagram at jeremiahu, or Twitter and Facebook as well.
Or you can check his bio on my website.
He's on the
both Geek Talk with Tyler page, as well as the Talk Geek with Tyler portion of my website. Now that we've discussed who we are and what we do, we are going to dive right into the topic, The Lord of the Rings on Amazon. For those of you that are unfamiliar with Lord of the Rings, it's basically an epic trilogy written by the ever-talented Tolkien, who pretty much modernized the world of fantasy as we know it, whether it's his works in The Hobbit, or The Silmarillion, or most famously, Lord of the Rings, thus giving birth to the greatest movie trilogy in the history of, well, ever. So, Lord of the Rings on Amazon, what's that going to be covering? Well, to understand that, you would have to be a little more familiar with the works of Tolkien and Middle-earth. The first stage was basically the beginning of the whole Middle-earth, where the first elves and all the other beings welcoming Middle-earth, and Sauron's actual mentor. Once his mentor died, Sauron said, you know what, I'm going to try to take over Middle-earth. That was pretty much the second age, and that's what this Lord of the Rings series is going to be focusing on. And it appears we just got a question from Jim from Flint, Michigan. Harrison Ford is the best actor. Who is your favorite? Who is my favorite actor? That is a good question. I'm always a Mark Hamill fan. Love his voiceovers, whether it's Joker, Fire Lord Ozai, or if you ever catch the show Dan Versus, he's had a couple roles there. But in terms of the live action aspect, it's really hard to say because so many talented, wonderful people get to grace the small and big screen. Jeremiah, you got a favorite one?
Ooh, favorite actor. That's actually a really good question because I'm not a huge, like, super into actors. I'm more of a director guy. But for me, I like actors who have versatility. So I really like Christian Bale's work. He's done a lot of just so many different characters. And also he's done, like, a lot of cool physical transformations. So I find that really interesting.
Well, versatility is good. There's no harm in do being a one-trick pony. Rodney Dangerfield, for example, he was always the kind of guy who loved to take jobs at himself. He was the rich guy in pretty much every movie he was in. Genuine respect. Whether you see him in Caddyshack, or you see him in Back to School, or even in the movie Little Nicky, where Adam Sandler's the son of the devil. He kind of had a smaller role there, but basically the same concept. All the other roles he's been in.
Well, I always feel like, you know, if an actor lacks versatility, it's always like, I feel like you're just going to see the same thing. And I think with sometimes with comedians, it can grow stale. Like if you look at someone like Will Ferrell or something, like he's been doing the same thing for like 30 years. And I think it can kind of grow stale at times. That's just what I think.
You want to talk about a stale actor? How about Seth Rogen? He seems like a nice guy to hang out with. But even then, it's just the same kind of chill party frat boy that you expect to see him in every freaking movie that he's in.
Yeah, that's true. But he actually can act. Like, he was in one of the Steve Jobs movies, and he actually played something slightly different. But it's like, it feels like, yeah, in 90% of the movies, he's just like the same thing. So, yeah, it's not as funny.
Yeah, and now we're on the topic of comedians as actors. Kristen Wiig, yes, thank you for ruining a classic DC villain by becoming a furry. Yes, thank you so much for that.
Oh,
for
yeah.
That don't know what I speak, Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
And we are now getting a message from Denise from San Francisco. Hi, guys, love your show. Every Monday you set the bar. Denise, I'll thank you. Now, but as long as we're talking about the realm of actors, let's not forget, the original trilogy, the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, had some phenomenal actors. Viggo Mortensen, John Rhys-Davies, Sir Ian McKellen, Andy Serkis, of course, with his phenomenal work in the works of CGI, Cate Blanchett. And it's funny how many of these actors eventually transitioned into the MCU. Andy Serkis was Claw in the second Avengers movie and Black Panther. Cate Blanchett was the third Thor villain, if I'm not mistaken. Who else? Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch, Smaug, and Doctor Strange. Though I guess that's really more Hobbit than the original trilogy.
Yeah. Even Martin Freeman, too, like Bilbo. And he was in Black Panther as well. I think a couple other movies. He was like the Asian guy. I don't remember his name, but yeah.
Oh, no one remembers the Asian guy, but I'm going to make a little joke about this. The funny thing I like about Black Panther is that the two token white guys were also Tolkien white guys. That whole interrogation scene was just Riddles in the Dark, and I love it.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it's funny because, like, I feel like the MCU, like, they have so many, like, secret agent characters that are all very similar. Like, it's like they have the Sharon Carter, they have the Martin Freeman's character, and then there's like who's the guy from Ant-Man. Like, there's a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. people, but like they're all kind of the same to me. They just don't feel very distinct.
Yeah, but fair. The world of Marvel, and I don't mean Marvel, I mean over 8,000 characters, and some of them are just everyday people. And I think that's what Marvel is starting to capitalize on. They're going the DC route. By that, I mean they focus on the everyday person, which is something DC's been known for, whether it's Batman or Constantine or trying to think of another everyday guy. Frickin' Green Arrow, everyday guy.
Well, you're right. Like, a lot of the Justice League are just, like, they have, like, relatively normal jobs. Like, they have day jobs, and then they're also heroes. So, yeah, definitely interesting.
Exactly. And now we're getting a message from Sam from, and I apologize if I'm butchering this, Alfreda, Georgia. Black Panther was great. Wonder how they're going to make a sequel. And who would they use as the main man? Who says it's going to be a man? There's a very good chance that Shuri may be the next Black Panther.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Shuri because I don't really see... I mean, I know that in the comics, it's sometimes the guy from the other tribe. I don't remember his name. Like, I know he's had
the gorilla
mantle
guy?
Before. Yeah, the guy,
I think it was
he's M'Baku, had the mantle,
I'm probably butchering that name.
Yeah, something like that. But it's
but
like, I think it's
he's already
Shuri.
Got the gorilla thing going for him. Why would he need the panther theme going for him?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not going to be Killmonger, because he just freaking kamikaze'd himself.
Yeah.
And so I might as well just be Shuri. Make it a family thing. But thought occurs, didn't they pretty much get rid of the flowers in the first movie?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a retcon. It'll be something like, hey, we can, there's some new flowers growing somewhere else. Or maybe she might use technology or something like that. Because Shuri, she's a scientist, so maybe she might synthesize something. That's my theory. That's what I'm going for. She's going to synthesize
something. So
bullshit something.
Ex machina is what we're going for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we're now getting another message. Al from Cranston, Rhode Island. How about making more Twilight Zone movies? Love watching the marathons on the holidays. Any favorites you have? I feel like Twilight Zone was basically Robot Chicken before it became Robot Chicken. It was just a whole list of hypotheticals and what if. And
yeah.
Honestly, one of my favorite episodes is the pig people one. You remember that one, Jeremiah?
Is that the one with the where they have to wear the masks and then they like, I don't spoil it. Is that the one with the masks or is that something else?
Well, first off, it's been out for several decades. If
people haven't seen it,
that's on them. Secondly, no, it was the one where they considered the human-looking woman to be ugly, even though they're all
pig.
Oh,
okay, right, yeah.
That was a good one. Also,
yeah.
The classic one where the guy wasn't allowed to read. So he gets a whole bunch of books, goes to the bunker. He's like, where is everybody? Well, at least I now have my books. And then he drops his glasses. It's not fair. There was time now. That's one of my personal favorites, and I hope it's yours, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot. Like, I've seen, like, a few of the classic episodes people have shown me, but I've never, like, sat down, watched all the season. But there's also the one where there's, like, a little kid who can, like, he has, like, all this power, and he's, like, a brat, and he can, like, make people, like, disappear and shit. That one freaks me out, because
children
do. Yeah,
I think Simpsons homaged that one. To be fair, Simpsons homaged a bunch of them. The freaking Halloween specials. Yeah, they did that one with the fly and the transporter. That was kind of a weird one. That was a fever dream one. Yeah, Bart had another one where Bart had all those powers. He turned Homer into a freaking jack-in-the-box. That was a direct homage to the episode you were talking about. But back to Lord of the Rings. Yes, I'm very excited to see how this plays out. To be honest, I can name at least 5 actors from Lord of the Rings from the original trilogy. As this new one, I can't name a single one, but it still has my attention.
Yeah. Well, it's like, for me, I feel like when I don't know the actors, I actually get more engaged because it's like, if I see a famous actor, I'm looking at it like, oh, that's this actor's name. That's in my head when I'm watching it. But when I don't know the actors, it's like, I just find that I'm more focused on like the actual story. So I'm just more engaged, but I don't know. Not everyone feels that way. How do you feel about that?
I honestly feel both sides. Like, a lot of the times, if I'm going to see something, an actor's that's going to be my hook. Like, Avatar, The Last Airbender, for example. The kid that played Aang, I can't think of anything else he's been in. But then there are a bunch of other characters who've been in other works. Mark Hamill, as I mentioned. Luke Skywalker, The Joker.
Cool.
Have you ever seen that show, Dan Versus? He did a couple of voices of those. Ron Perlman, Fire Lord Sozin, Hellboy. He was in the DCAU as freaking Clayface. That show is just riddled with unique and interesting actors that I have great experience watching their performances in. And then there's Aang, who I actually haven't seen any of the actor's other works.
Right.
But it's still a good fit for the character. So I understand both sides of what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Like, would it be seeing an actor in a movie be my sole reason to watch anything? As of now, no. But would it help? Yeah, a little.
Okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying, yeah. Got you. Well, I think the actors have some credits, though, because the guy playing, I think, Elrond, he was in a Game of Thrones as young as Stark in one of, like, Bran's visions. So it's like, I recognize a few faces, but I don't know names. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I got requests for my Squid Game episode, like, say, love you, Mom. I'm going to say, call you out on this a little. She wanted the Jason Statham character, and she couldn't give me the name. It's like, oh, you want Arthur Bishop? It's like, yes, I want him. And it kind of shows to tell you the types of different people. We have us that focuses on the character, and then we have people like my mom and a whole bunch of other people that focus on who is being said actor, who's the actor that is bringing the role to life, I should say.
Mm.
And as for Game of Thrones, I respect it for what it is, but it just feels like the love child of Lord of the Rings and Shakespeare raised by HBO. that's the vibe I got from it.
Yeah, you do have a good point, though. And it's like, but it did, I think it had a lot of subversions of fantasy that mainstream audiences hadn't expected. And that's why, part of why it blew up. So it was like, you know, it had all these different elements. But no, you have a good point that, yeah.
I mean, fuck. Let's just be honest. There's no such thing as an original idea anymore.
Yeah.
Because pretty much everything has been done, but you just got to find a way to make it your own.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you the amount of anime that I've seen that have demons in it, or elves, or frickin' Oni, which is basically a Japanese demon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the one thing Tolkien did for the world of Middle-earth and fantasy. He gave us a new race. Well, technically two new races. The Orcs and the Hobbits. Or, as D&D will say, Halflings.
Yeah.
That's definitely staples.
Did you
and
hear about
let me ask
the...
you something, Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you ever see the original animated works?
For Lord of the Rings?
From Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit.
I didn't get the chance to actually watch those. I wanted to, and it's been on my list for so long, but
dude,
I cannot
stress how much you need to watch this. I mean, don't get me wrong. The live-action version is better, but to really appreciate The Lord of the Rings, I would watch The Animated Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, then both Lord of the Rings movies by Rankin and Bass. And funny enough, I actually used a clip from The Hobbit for the opening of my Dragon episode. Where Smaug's talking about himself. Like, my fire is death and my claws are swords and blah, blah, blah.
What's the, what do you find, like, the difference was between the live action and the animated version?
Honestly, well, for starters, I understand how CGI works. So while the original Smaug was a traditional Western dragon, I should say, you know, four legs, wings on the back, tail breathes fire. The Hobbit live-action one was more of a wyvern, which is basically a more Myrmidon-looking dragon, you know, and where the front legs are its wings. Legs, tail, still breathes fire. And I get that because that's how CGI works.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, true.
Also, the voice was much deeper in the original Hobbit movie.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Like, really deep.
Hmm.
Like,
well, when you're reading
it. Are you familiar
with
who Clancy Brown is?
Nah, I've heard that. Who is that? No.
You ever see the DCAU?
Yeah.
Okay, Lex Luthor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a deep voice. Yeah.
Yeah. He was also Wolf and Gargoyles. I'm trying to think what else he was in there. Everybody would remember him as. Red Death and Venture Brothers. Definitely good than that. Yeah. So another great character. A little reference to you. And, Mr. Krabs, most famously.
Oh my God. Okay, that's so...
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, the werewolf that freaking torments the gargoyles is also SpongeBob's penny-pinching boss.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
that guy has versatility.
Yeah, that is range, sir.
Yeah. Did you hear about there's going to be, I think, an animated movie, Lord of the Rings. What is it, War of...
Okay, are you saying
something?
Animated or anime, like Japanese?
I think it's actually going to be anime. I'm not don't pull me on this, but I think so.
I've heard rumors about it. I've even seen fan art that says Lord of the Rings presented by Studio Ghibli. At this point, whatever happens, happens. And I'm going to be honest, I honestly hope it doesn't happen, because at this point, Lord of the Rings is turning into Star Wars. We had the original trilogy. We were fine with that. Now you're producing more movies. And as a businessman, I get it. It's all about making money. But as an artist, it kind of annoys me.
I think what happened was Tolkien's son, I think he passed away. And then when that happened, I think that's when they started selling more rights to, you know, to make more shows and all that. So, you know, we might start getting a lot more Lord of the Rings stuff in the next 10 years.
Well, it's funny you say Lord of the Rings. Do you mean just that specific trilogy? Or all of Middle Earth.
Well, all of Middle Earth, I mean, you know, we might get a lot more of that.
No, I get it. It's like when you say World War, you automatically want to say two because media
yeah.
has freaking milked that for what it was worth. But you know there
yeah.
was a first one. It's
yeah,
funny
true.
How that works. But speaking of
Do
World
think,
War movies,
yeah.
here's a recommendation if you can find it. Grave of the Fireflies. It takes place
okay.
during World War II. During it takes place during Hiroshima, during World War II. Yeah, 1940s. Yeah, seriously, if you think Lion King was a sad movie, this makes Lion King look like a freaking family favorite all throughout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, man, I don't know. I don't
perfect.
Like sad movies. I'm not good with them. Oh, man.
No one
okay,
really
I might have to take it. Yeah, true. I mean, I watch a movie for escapism. I don't want to feel sad. That's just me, though. But
well, no, it's not like. Could you imagine someone saying that? Oh, what's your favorite movie? Grave of the Fireflies.
Yeah.
Oh, what's
well,
your, what is wrong with you?
This problem.
I mean, it's a good
like
movie
that.
For what it is, but I don't
yeah.
see how it would be anyone's favorite movie.
Yeah, true. Most people's favorite movie is like something fun, you know, something that like yeah, not so heavy, but.
Slumdog
yeah.
Millionaire, Avatar, Scarface. Yes, those are all movies I can see being favorite movies.
Yeah.
But that, no. Do watch it. You all need to watch it. It's a nice different take on the what happened during World War II, but from a different view. But
okay.
speaking of war, it's another one of those war movies, good versus evil, good triumphs over evil. But it's not just that. It's learning to appreciate the little things in life. And the people who you should trust. And it's, well, actually, just honestly the best trilogy out there, as I previously stated, and I will continue to state it until another trilogy wins 17 Oscars. That's right,
yeah.
17 Oscars. 4 for the first, 2 for the second, and 11 for the third.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. And they were filmed back-to-back, right? Because
Yeah.
Is that true?
Have you ever
oh,
seen
okay,
the extended
yeah.
scenes? It's
yeah,
a whole different ball field.
Yeah.
The Hobbit should have just been, at most, 2 movies. It was overdoing
it. Yeah, definitely. Well, that was the original plan, actually. It was going to be 2 movies, and then they just, like, ended up stretching it out to 3.
Yeah, because filler needs to happen.
Yeah, they added a lot of stuff to do that.
And for those of you that are unfamiliar, filler is basically stuff that was never put in the book or in the comic, the original story, and just found its way into the media. Like Harley Quinn, for example, is considered to be a filler character. At least she was at first. She was introduced in Batman, the animated series, and then eventually she became written into the story. Bebop and Rocksteady from the Turtles are another case of characters just gradually written into the story. So, yeah. So,
yeah,
basically, that Tauriel girl in The Hobbit shouldn't have existed. I don't know why they added her. Oh,
yeah.
Fan service, maybe? Who can say?
Yeah, it was, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like the added stuff. I just thought it was, because there's actually a cut of The Hobbit that's, it's online. It's more accurate to the book, and I think they combined all 3 into one movie and cut out, like, a lot of stuff. It's like a standard.
Well, yeah, the original Hobbit animated film was more accurate to the book, and it was one movie.
Oh, okay.
Like, the only
okay.
thing they really left out was the skin changer, what was his name? Beorn? Yeah, they left him out. But even then, it was still more accurate to the book. But to be
okay.
fair, they did also add ties to the Unfinished Tales, the book that was written, started by the original Tolkien, and then finished by his son. So
okay.
I am proud that they did that, but making it into 3 books is overkill. Like, I could have seen
yeah.
The Hobbit ending right after they the Eagles dropped them off and rescued them from the orcs. And then the rest of the movie would have just been all that. So if you trim the elf-dwarf romance, you get rid of the Lake Town politics, and you get rid of the unnecessary Legolas appearance,
yeah.
you get yourself a nice two-film movie.
Yeah. And another
so
world.
I think
that
would have been
a
better compromise, but Peter Jackson's doing well that he doesn't really need to listen to our opinions.
Yeah, true. Well, he actually wasn't even the original director. It was going to be, what's his name? Del Toro. Gomero Del Toro?
Del Toro?
Yeah, and even like...
Considering how he did with Hellboy, that would have been a nice turn on things. But
yeah.
I'm glad we got the people we got in it. Not just the director, but the actors, the musicians that made the score phenomenal.
Yeah, true. It was, yeah, that was all good. And it's like, but I think the CGI was a little spotty at times. Because, like,
For the Hobbit.
Because, like, there's a few parts where it's like when they're going down the river in the barrels and they're, like, fighting. I thought that looked terrible.
But, it wasn't Peter Jackson's best work. I'm not going to lie about that. But honestly, CGI does need to be having for Lord of the Rings. Smaug the dragon, definitely Gollum needed to be CGI character. The orcs, they were fine as costumes. They didn't need to be CGI.
Yeah.
Like, a lot, they had a lot of makeup for that.
Mm.
Really well done. Fangs and everything. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
The orcs in the third and second movie, they need to be CGI.
Yeah.
And I guess a good portion of the background need to be CGI. But no, not everything needed to be CGI, but that's just my two cents. Take it with a grain of salt as you will. But my question for you, Jeremiah, is you say you're a fantasy author, right?
Yeah.
How much of your books have been inspired by Lord of the Rings?
Well, it's like, I mean, I would say that there's a lot of hero's journey stuff, but I don't have any dwarves. I don't have any elves, but I do have, you know, just like the characters of wizards and, you know, I don't really have dragons, but I have animals and it's just like mythical beings. And I think like pretty much all modern fantasy has some derived from Lord of the Rings. So I'm actually more inspired by stuff like Game of Thrones than Lord of the Rings. But yeah, I mean, I have, of course, I'm inspired by like the grandfather of modern fantasy, right?
Well, yes, he is the grandfather of modern fantasy. And to be fair, saying that you weren't inspired by Lord of the Rings as all a writer, is kind of untrue, or at least, at the very least, a half-truth, at the very least.
Yeah.
Oh, without Lord of the Rings, we wouldn't have Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you play D&D?
Even today, it's being referenced in today's work.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. Oh, we're actually winding down, but are you a South Park fan, Jeremiah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love South Park.
Okay, so there's actually a clip from one of the later seasons where you remember the character Token Black?
Yeah.
It's not Token. It's Tolkien.
Oh, my friend actually told me about this.
The whole time that we were racist for thinking it's
Token.
It was just beautifully well written. Much like Lord of the Rings is, that episode was just beautifully well written. And it leads to them being pot farmers.
That's great.
That really is great. And everybody, I would like to thank you for tuning in as we talk about Lord of the Rings. I hope you all get the chance to see it. I know I will. Jeremiah, do you plan on seeing it?
Yeah, I plan to check it out. I'm excited for it.
Terrific, terrific. Now, everybody knows where they can find me, and if you can't, that's okay. I'm going to repeat myself. If you want to reach out to me, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or if you just want to save your trouble instead of going to all these different websites, go to Geek Talk with Tyler. You click on the homepage, you'll see my social media bar, and if you're feeling a little generous, want to spread the little green around, please visit my Venmo and Patreon page, so I can produce more worthy and wonderful content to y'all. Jeremiah, you want to say something about yourself as we wrap the show up?
Yeah, for sure. I'll just say anyone who didn't hear where they can find me. I have my first novel out. It's a sci-fi novel, Hive. You can just check me out at www.jeremiahu.com. That's the easiest way to find me. I'm also going to be on a little stand-up tour. I'm going to be in Victoria, British Columbia, from August 25th to 30th, and I'll be in Kelowna from September 1st to 5th. And then I'll be in Halifax from September 6th to 12th. If you're in Canada and you want to come check out some stand-up, you can also check out tickets on my website, www.jeremiahyu.com.
And what if they're not in Canada? Do you have any YouTube clips of your comedy specials that we can check out there?
I do. I have some stuff just on my website if anyone wants to check me out.
Terrific, terrific. Stay tuned in next week, everybody. We got, as always, we will have another lovely guest, and we'll be ranting about a yet another lovely topic. Stay tuned, and don't forget to stay geeky out there.